And you're currently listening to Sound Sessions.
Sound Sessions.
Sound Sessions.
Sound what?
Sound Sessions.
Sound Sessions.
You're listening to the sweet sounds of Sound Sessions. Thank you.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. I'm Michael Heidemann.
Hey, I'm Kevin Richter. Can we still say Happy New Year? Happy 2017?
I think we're a little past that point, but I...
Maybe a little removed. We've been lazy.
I'm cool with it.
We've been kind of lazy. We haven't done a podcast in a bit, so we're... This is going to be our catch-up podcast, kind of. Maybe like we'll look back in 2017 and we'll kind of just toss some topics and ideas around, have a little fun with it.
Exactly. And, you know, if you're listening right now, hey, you know, we've recorded this on New Year's, so congratulations.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm so glad to be back in the saddle, though, man, with you. I haven't seen you in forever.
I know, man. Our schedules have not been working. Things have been a little crazy, but it's nice to see you. You're bearded as hell, so that's cool.
Yes, and the only thing I'm missing is the plaid, and that's all you.
And I got the plaid under.
So we got the good combo.
As always, where to find us? We're on WGNplus.com and actually WGNradio.com now, if I'm not mistaken.
They've merged, and you can find us on the app as well. So it's like we're kind of everywhere. And we've done a few on-air hosting gigs since we last spoke.
Yes, sir. We're on iTunes. What is it? You just search Sound Sessions on iTunes. We'll come right up.
Yep, iTunes.com/Sound Sessions, and you'll find us.
Easy peasy. You can find us on SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Twitter, which is just Sound Sesh Pod. Instagram is Sound Sessions WGN. If you look for us on Facebook, it's Sound Sessions. And you can always email us, Sound Sessions. SoundSessionsPod@gmail.com. We love to hear from you. I know that's a tongue twister.
You know, that's a good point. I would love to hear like from our listeners. Like, we have a ton of free stuff to give away. Like, if you email us,
you want a Colors T-shirt?
Yeah,
we'll give it. I don't care. You can have it. Just take it. Take it from me. I don't want it.
Yeah, or we can do, we have a lot of Kosha Dill's CDs still, too.
Which is great. I love that. That's a great CD.
He rocks. Yeah.
He does rock.
So if any of our listeners are out there, email us. We will send you some free stuff. It'd be great to see, like, you know, who is actually listening to the podcast, because we enjoy talking to everybody. When we're on air, we love taking calls and everything like that, so we'll keep you guys updated on that. But let's get into the show. Kevin. I've been seeing this like really cool thing.
I know,
online.
I know where you're going, and I need to prepare for this. But keep going, yes.
And it's on Facebook, and the latest like trend in the music community has been these people are posting. They're trying to find the top like 10 albums that influenced them in high school, and it kind of has been all over the place, and it's really funny to see like where they go, because there's always like Blink-182 and
of course
Taking Back Sunday,
of course,
and then there's always, you know, like Now 3, and you're like, I should not be friends with this person. Why are you on my Facebook wall? But I wanted to dive into this with you and see what influenced you as a high school student. But you know what, let's for our listeners' sake, because it is kind of off the dome right now, let's just do the top three. So when you were a young lad in high school, what were the albums that you really were influenced by?
Well, let me preface this by saying I was a different young Kevin at the time.
Oh.
I was definitely big, like you mentioned, the Blink-182. I was kind of in that vein, but a little bit more so on the darker side of things. And what got me started on this, and the first album that I will list, is AFI's The Art of Drowning. That album to this day, like, October rolls around and I have to play it. I still have, you know, they still have a special place in my heart. I had an unhealthy relationship with that band. And what I mean by that was, for a long time, they were all I listened to and all I cared about and all I did. Like, if I was online doing anything, it had to do with them.
Did you used to go on those AFI message boards and, like, go on their site before Facebook or anything?
I'm not kidding you, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was all over it.
That's great.
But it's really remarkable to me that I got so into them. Like, seriously, I was having, like, dreams where I met these guys. I've seen them upwards of 6 times, which I know, like, some people like travel with fish and that's not all, but I was, you know, I couldn't drive at the time, you know, so I still had my mom, or I like took the train to the city.
Travel with fish. For a second I thought you were talking bluegills and like
not that
salmon,
kind of fish.
And I was like, so you were like an AFI head
big time.
Okay,
big time. But yeah, the album Art of Drowning, it was the first one I heard by them, and the reason I got it, actually, I was at a Hot Topic and I saw the cover art and I just liked the cover art. It's that old story.
I
knew nothing about
that.
Them. I knew the name, and I saw the cover art, and I loved the cover art, and I was like, I'm going to check these guys out. And, you know, fast forward now, 15 years maybe, and I'm still an avid fan.
Man, isn't that so funny that back in the day we used to, like, just go by pure aesthetics of what we saw, and that's how we found our albums? Because when there was, I mean, it's weird to think that in 2000, what, when we were in high school, like 2004 through 2010, 9?
Yeah, I graduated, well, no, high school, I, no, yeah, we I graduated in 05, so you're
Oh, yeah. Wait.
Unless you spent some extra time in high school, I don't know.
Yeah, I got held back a few years. Obviously, I can't do math still to this day. Maybe I should go back to high school.
Yeah, right.
2000 to 2000, I did 04. So
yeah, right. So you're a year ahead of me. Yes. So, yeah, but
it's funny because there was no online. There was barely MySpace. Barely MySpace.
Right. Well, and that's a commentary. You know, like you, I don't think anymore that the product. Or, I'm sorry. Nobody anymore is finding albums based on the album art. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like in the age of Spotify and digital mm-hmm. streaming and all that, what's the album art matter right now? Granted, you know, vinyl is coming back, so I think that will be there. But yeah.
I mean, we've been seeing that album sales have, I mean, vinyl sales have been going up over the past, like,
if I want to go on a tangent now, or maybe I could save it for later.
Mm-hmm. Just go on it right now.
I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
Story from theindependentco.uk. Vinyl sales top 1 billion for the first time since the 1980s.
Damn.
That's a lot of money. That's a good
sign.
$1 billion?
Yes.
Yes. Professional services from Delewitt predicts that the sale of LPs will continue their resurgence into 2017 to register double-digit growth for the seventh consecutive year as people continue to favor the physical format.
Wow. Now, I would have never guessed. I would have thought maybe $100 million because you don't think... Because think about the fact that, you know, DVD sales are so down. I can't even think of the billions as far as, like, movies, TV, or music anymore. So $1 billion for vinyl?
Yeah, and it's a it's a really cool thing, and I think it's a really good thing for music. It just, you know, you talk to... We've talked to bands where they talk about, like I just said, the album art. Mm-hmm. You know, you buy an album for its art, or the concept of an album doesn't really exist anymore in the age of streaming. Now it's more on demand. Give me one song at a time. Mm-hmm. The thought of we're gonna put these songs in a collective order, and we're gonna think about, you know, the exact order because it's my art, and I want you to experience these things in this way.
Yeah.
That's kind of out the window currently, right? But the album, the actual hard copy album, brings that back, and I think, and I love that.
That's a really good point. It's true because, you know, I look back at, like, the albums I used to listen to back in the day, and you wanted to listen to them, like, all the way through every single time.
Yeah.
And the song placement was very important, especially on CDs. Like, I remember the first song was always, like, the go-getting, like, hit song.
Well, and, you know, you mentioned that, like, AFI, they were famous for that first track always being, like, an intro track. And,
yeah.
Like, it gets you pumped, and it's only a minute long.
Or, like a spacey kind of, like, lead into
exactly.
it. Oh, man, spoken word.
Yeah, man, right. So, I mean... That was out the window for so long. And don't get me wrong, I love streaming. I use mm-hmm. Spotify regularly. It's great.
Yeah.
However, when I'm home and listening, I'm going to, you know, opt to the vinyl.
I like that. You know, it gives you a little bit of sense of, like I said, aesthetics. Like, you're feeling the album. You get to listen to it. It makes you feel a little bit more full. I mean, and don't let me get you wrong. I am also all for Spotify, Apple
yeah.
Music. If it wasn't for that, I'd be illegally downloading music right now. I don't care what the
torrenting,
government has to say
of course,
about that.
Of course, of course. Same,
yeah.
same.
All right, so let's go into what's album number two?
Number two.
I could talk about this for the next, like, 3 days.
I know, I love this, and I'm going to come to you on this also, so I hope you have some ready.
Okay, I do.
So number two for me is A Perfect Circle's... The 13th Step.
Mm-hmm.
Still, again, I have this one. I have both these past two, actually all three of mine that I'm going to list, I have on vinyl.
Yeah.
And they still hold true to me to this day. That album to me is, God, like, everything I want bass tone to sound like.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful at times. It's heavy at times. It's a brilliant album, beginning to end. I don't know what else I could say about it. And I was given it by a friend. To check out. He gave me, like, a burned copy. You know mm-hmm. how that used to go.
Yeah. Oh, man, the burned copies. Oh, I remember the Jewel case set. I know we mentioned this before, but I loved that thing. And I know you had one,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The Jewel case.
The Bible?
The Bible. The big-ass thing. Oh. Yeah, it's like 30 pages with, like, four per side. It's something ridiculous. It weighs, like, 25 pounds.
25 pounds. It would always be, like, on the corner of your car. And it
and you'd be spilling out.
You'd be, like, driving, and then you'd be, like, grabbing for the
oh,
CD.
Yeah.
And you'd be,
oh. Exactly. That's what would happen.
Yeah, you'd be smashing, like, your neighbor's legs and stuff like that. And then you'd finally find the CD. And I could always tell because I knew the first two pages were always, like, my go-to. Like, albums I could listen to all the time.
See, for me, the first two pages were the ones where I had, like, you know, each page has the four slots, but in those four slots, I'd have like six CDs jammed in each one because I want to, you know, quick cycle out.
Did you used to like draw on
doodles or like, you know, Kevin Jams 06?
I think everyone on the planet had like a Summer Jams.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like Betty Jams. This is the dance party mix.
Or then there was also the concept of, oh, this chick's cute. I'm going to make her a mix CD.
Oh.
And maybe sneak a little lovey song in there in the middle. You don't want to like go love song first. That's too forward.
Mm-mm.
You got to warm her up to it.
Yeah, you got to like have a little bit of rock and roll, and then
because you got edge. You're a mysterious guy, you know.
And then lead her into, but which is all back to the placement of the songs.
Exactly.
Very
so
important.
That's us. That's so funny.
I remember I asked a girl to prom one time by a mixed CD, and it spelt out, "Will you go to prom with me?"
That's
all the
creative.
Songs.
Did she catch on to it, or she was just like, "This CD sucks. It's really random. The order doesn't make any sense.
There's way too much yellow card on this CD. Why? These are all sad songs with fiddle." She caught on. I put the letters in bold. I made it pretty obvious.
You're a smooth player. You know that.
That's what I do. That's what I do. Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, going back. So A Perfect Circle's 13th step, and I think also just to comment on that one more time, that album still holds true to me to this day. That like that's the type of music I like to write, and like for whatever reason, that music seems to resonate most with me currently. And I'm almost 30 now, so say about that what you will. And then my third album is Queens of the Stone Age's Songs for the Deaf.
Wow, that what a revolutionary album! Who
actually
would have thought?
Hold on, let me make sure I'm not cheating here. Songs for the Deaf. I gotta Google this because that may have came out when I was in. I don't think so. I think it came out. I was like a senior, maybe. Came out. Oh, 2002. So yeah, I'm covered.
Jeez.
Yeah, I remember. You know what's funny about this album too is I got it because I heard. No One Knows, which was like their breakout song from that album, and I liked it. And then I got the album, and I didn't really like it as a whole. I was at first. I'm proud first listen. But what I would do, I would listen to these albums while I played my streaming video game online called Diablo 2. I'm not sure if you're familiar.
I remember Diablo 2.
I played Diablo 2 way too much, and I would listen to songs.
Scary ass cover. I remember that.
Oh yeah,
the devil.
Well, the game was kind of scary in general, but I played it way too much, and I would listen to Songs for the Deaf while playing it, and that's kind of how I learned it from like cover to cover.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So,
and I mean, again, it's all about how you listen to it.
Yeah, and again, still one of my favorite bands, Queens of the Stone Age. So, what about you?
All right. So, after much thought, I went back in my head and thought about what albums, you know, really meant something to me, and it goes back to the albums that I would play over and over and over again, and still to this day, I still find myself listening to these.
That's right.
These albums. And okay, we're gonna start from the bottom to the top.
Okay, so this is going in like third being least favorite of the three.
Third being, I guess like not least favorite because they're all my favorite albums of all time.
Right, right.
But I think listenership is building up. So it's like the number one would be the album I listen to the most.
Right.
Number three, I met a girl when I was in eighth grade, and she told me about a band called The Reunion Show, which was a very small band.
Huh.
And we saw them play in Rockford at, it was a coffee shop called The Divine Cup.
Okay.
And I was so blown away by this band, The Reunion Show, that I bought their album called Kill Your Television, and I listened to this CD until it broke into 15,000 pieces. It was like the songs on the CD were just like so destroyed, and then it started warping, you know, because like when you have a CD, like,
yeah,
listening for too
you
long,
play it too much.
It looks like a coffee spot is like spilling into it. So I listened to that all the time. But it was like, it was because this girl was like really into this band, and then I like got totally into them, and it was like a Moog synthesizer.
Well, this is interesting. I've never even heard of these guys. This is new to me, but it looks like they had a pretty solid following.
At the time they did. They played very small shows, so like they'd play the like side stage at Warped Tour, and actually they became a band called Action Action.
Which I'm familiar with that, I think.
Yeah, they were pretty solid. Like, it was, again, right when pop punk was just about to explode.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in the early 2000s, that was like at what everyone listened to. It was the hip hop of like back then.
Sure.
Or the EDM of back then.
Right. Where it was, yeah, exactly.
Everyone was emo, had the hair swooped to the side,
oh, yeah,
you know, just like the type. I'm wearing like a type black shirt right now. But it's like, that's what everyone wore.
Now, were you a hair dyer? Did you go through the hair dye phase?
Oh man, Kevin, big time.
Dude, I got to pull up some photos of me for you. So I got to find them. I'm sure my parents.
You were a hair dyer?
I had at one point black Liberty spikes.
No
way. I'm not kidding you. Black Liberty spikes. This is when I was
Mohawk?
In my like. No, not the mohawk.
What's a Liberty Spike?
So, Lars Fredriksson from Rancid, you know, it's like boop boop, like a bunch of that was me. I was
wow.
When I had like a little street punk phase, you know. Okay. So I wore the two belts, the one studded, the one with like the metal hoops.
Oh, yeah, you got to like the one was just
all
like,
over my pants.
Like why did you even wear the second belt? Because it would just sleep, it would sloop
it's
down
just
to
resting
the,
there.
The side. Yeah,
yeah. And then you
is sloop a word? I don't know.
It should be
okay
about belts.
it's about some belts.
But yeah, that's I definitely went through that phase.
That's awesome. I mean, own it.
I guess. Yeah, well, I did. I tried to.
You know what? To be honest, it's tough to own that because I look back at the photos where I had my hair dyed and it's like, shit, I shouldn't have done that. I should have just like stuck with normal hair.
Yes, and you know, and I would get it done in like the winter and man, I'm fair-skinned relatively, so it didn't make, I looked like a different human. I looked Asian almost, honestly.
I gotta see these photos.
Oh, they're funny, yeah.
We gotta put them on the Sound Session Facebook page.
I would. If I could find them, I definitely would.
So you had spikes. So what'd you do? Like, you have the glue?
Yeah, just like a lot of ridiculous
like
hair
gotta
product.
Be glued. It was like
yeah,
the name
exactly,
of that. Oh.
Exactly.
I would pay $1 million to see that. So I had... well, this leads me into my next album.
Okay.
Then I got really into a band that is from Chicago called Fall Out Boy.
Okay, of course.
As if you were in the suburbs and not listening to Fall Out Boy, I don't know who you were, because that was the go-to band.
They always seemed like one of those bands, too, for me, where it was like, oh, you like Fall Out Boy? Yeah, my buddy's blah, 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 knows the drummer. It was like, because they're that local band, I mean...
Everybody.
Back in the day, they weren't as big as they are today, but yeah, it was like... There was always some sort of connection there with them.
So true. Everyone had like a story.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like what... drew me to them because they seemed like the band that you didn't want to sell out. Like I remember that being such a big, huge deal. Like, don't play their music on the radio. We don't want them to sell out.
Right.
No one can own their albums. How dare you wear their t-shirt?
How do they have any success whatsoever?
Because he wanted them to be like all yours and just
cover
you like a nice, like warm blanket. And I was really into Pete Wentz, who was
the
bass player. Yeah. So I dyed my hair just like him for like 3 summers in a row, where I just did the single blonde streak to the side. And then like
I wanted that. In fact, I went through the steps as far as to buy the dyes. So I had the black dye for the rest of the head and then like the blonde for just like the little like, you know.
It was like a little skunk tail.
Like
right
the 25%
yeah.
of my head. Yeah, right there that would have it. And then I got home and I was like, Mom, I'm doing this. And she was like, no, you're not. It's like, yeah, but I bought the dye. Come on,
Mom. I bought the dye.
Nope. Doesn't matter. So she let me do the black, but not the black in the thing. I don't know why. So
your whole head was black.
Yeah, at one point, yeah.
Oh, man. Again, we should really find these photos and post them on a Sound Session page.
I know. It'd be so funny.
It'd be so embarrassing, too.
I don't care. Who cares?
Awesome. Yeah. So I would listen to Fall Out Boy nonstop. I must have seen them about, I don't know, to this day, maybe 10 times. It was like... I went to the Tower Records when they put out their first EP.
Okay.
I got this like another signed albums. Would wait in line to see them perform at the Metro.
Yep.
It was just a great time to be young and into music.
Yeah.
Because everyone was in it for the same right reasons. Like nobody had any problems with. I remember the biggest issue listening to music back then was. What is emo? Is it cool to be emo?
I know. Oh, that whole argument.
That was it.
Or like, oh, you're emo. It was like an insult for a while. And it's like, this is stupid. Get past it. It's dumb.
Yeah, it was like, it was.
It's all music. Music's so funny in that regard.
That's so funny because we spoke to the lead singer of the Get Up Kids.
Oh, that's right.
Matt
that's
Pryor,
right.
About
yeah.
this issue.
Yeah.
And how he like was offended by it. And he really didn't give two shits.
Yeah, right. It's music. Who cares? Be whatever you want. You know, people let music define themselves so much. And it's.
Yeah.
It's kind of silly.
What a beautiful thing that music can like define you, though. So,
it's true. Mm-hmm. It's true.
So yeah, being emo, I miss those days where that was like the biggest thing. It's like when people would call you emo and you'd be like offended by it.
Right.
And then I heard the best argument for emo though. It was by a band called Matchbook Romance. Who? Who? I went to go see and Pete Wentz was at the show as well.
Oh man, you must have freaked out.
I was freaking. And they went on stage and they go, you know, there's this emo debate. I was like. You know, 18, and he goes, and at the time I thought this was really deep. He goes, "Hey man, you know, the Beatles were emo. They created it. So if you're not cool with emo, you're not cool with the Beatles, and then you're not cool." And I was like, "Oh, somebody has to write that down. Yeah. Get it tattooed."
See, I heard a different argument of like what emo really was. There was bands like this metal band Bleeding mm-hmm. Through, and
ooh, yeah.
While they played the heavy songs, it was all about women. Mm-hmm. And this guy I knew was like, oh, this kind of emo, this is real emo music. They would beat the hell out of any of these other emo bands these days. Like, first of all, no, they probably wouldn't. They're probably all buddies. And second of all, who cares?
Yeah, who cares? Who cares? They're all skinny guys in tight pants.
Right, exactly.
And also the tight pants, man.
Did you do the girl pants?
Well, I was a huge fan of Fall Out Boy, and Pete Wentz did that all the time. So, of course I did the girl pants, and I don't care what you say.
What about the eyeliner? Did you go
never,
that far?
I did not go that far.
Black fingernails?
No. Did you?
So, I tried the girl pants. Didn't quite work. Wasn't for me.
I remember I borrowed a pair of pants from a girl named Jessica Dietz, and she was so confused. And she's like, why do you want my pants? I'm like, oh, just don't ask.
They look great on me.
So damn tight.
I know, yeah.
Okay, but you did...
I tried, just for fun, I did the black fingernails once, and my dad was like, what's that? What are you doing that for? And it wasn't really
Son,
for me anyway.
Let me speak to you for
and
a
no,
second.
No, I never did the eyeliner or anything like that.
Okay, good. That's a whole nother level.
For sure.
Eyeliner?
Yeah.
Guyliner is what they used to call it.
Guyliner. How have I never heard that? That's great.
I still see that today. Like, the only person who can really pull that off is Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day nowadays. Because he's so entrenched in it. He might have a tattoo on his eye for all I know.
Well, you know, when you're at that... Okay. I guess it is what you want it to be in the sense that, like, well, these days, you know, there's different gender roles and whatever. Do whatever you're comfortable with, right? Mm-hmm. But, like... It's just funny thinking back, like, oh, my favorite band, the singer of my favorite band does it, and I'm going to walk around the halls of my high school and do it because, fuck yeah.
Man, you got to be bold to
know,
walk around
but,
the
like,
halls
people
of your
did
high school.
It. There was, like, a group of guys I knew that did it, and I didn't feel that bold.
Jeez, and you have to, like, borrow it from your mom, too,
I know,
which is
like,
twice
sneak
as embarrassing.
It.
Oh, man. Or buy it yourself.
Right.
I mean, no hate
I mean,
to anybody
then,
who's
like,
doing it, but it's like, come on.
I wouldn't know where to begin with that.
Have you ever done black lipstick?
I've not done any lipstick, no. I do chapstick, and even that, like, weirds me out sometimes.
The chapstick. It's just the movement of your, like, face. It's
and then
like
you
the
do,
lower
like,
lip.
Little move where it's like, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's... So. Okay, so...
Third album. Anyway.
Third album. Going to the top album that I listen to nonstop. I mentioned this a little bit before when I was doing the intro to the segment, but it had to be... Blink-182's Take Off Your Pants and Jacket, both the album and the live album, I listen to maybe a zillion times. I can quote the album to this day. Like, it's buried somewhere back in my head.
Yeah,
like,
they're one of those bands, man, that just cult-like following, mm-hmm. truly.
And I saw them last year play here in Chicago, and Matt Skiba is
yeah.
the new lead singer,
yep.
which is, like, the craziest thing for a guy from Chicago that the lead singer of Alkaline Trio merged with, like, your favorite band from
well,
growing up.
I have to say, I never got all that into Blink-182, but mm-hmm. hearing that latest incarnation of them, it's my favorite.
Personally.
Really? I'm not a fan of... how am I not thinking of his name right now?
Tom DeLonge?
Yeah. No, mm-hmm. no, no. Yeah, Tom DeLonge. I'm not a fan of his voice, I think is what it is.
Where he's like, kind of like a Muppet?
That and attitude. His attitude just seems like it's kind of bad. So...
Did you have an experience with him?
No, but like you hear these interviews and like... Okay, there was video out there...
I like the way he talks when he's like, my, it's, he's like, you can always hear that he has like a lip ring still.
Yeah.
It's like, mom,
have you ever heard him talk about, I think it was, no, Angels and Airwaves, when that was coming out,
mm-hmm.
he was literally like, he was hyping it up so much, saying it was like the best thing to happen to music since the Beatles and stuff like that.
Really?
It's like, really, man? Angels and Airwaves? Really?
Jeez.
Yeah, so he's
that
got a bit of an
sucked.
Ego. He's got a bit of an ego, I think, so.
But if you're gonna be putting out an album, you gotta back it.
Yeah, I get the hype. I get mm-hmm. that you're trying to hype it up and you want to get people. But anyway, my point is the latest version of Blink-182 is my favorite.
Is your favorite?
Yeah.
What about your thoughts? Just before we put Tom DeLonge to rest, what are your thoughts on his love for aliens? The fact that he dropped out of the band,
yeah,
to find more
about that.
Like extraterrestrial life.
It's. Sure, who cares? That's cool. Like, you could be into that, and I'm not saying that anything... Like, I'm not giving any comment about whether they may or may not exist, but I think he could have still focused on the band and UFOs at the same time.
It doesn't seem like that big of a hobby where you're just like, sorry, I gotta quit
guys,
my multi-million-dollar band. I gotta sit you down, guys.
I can't tour with you guys because I'm hunting aliens nonstop.
Could you imagine that conversation that they were like sat down
huh?
when he's just like... Yeah, Mark, Travis Barker, like the most amazing
right.
drummer of all time.
Right.
It's just like, hey guys, I know we're making millions upon millions of dollars doing this band, but
the truth is out there.
The truth is out there. There's a calling. Scully called me the other night, and Mulder said I needed to hunt aliens for the rest of my days. Maybe, you know what? I doubt it. You know, I think that it was probably something like they were just probably so sick of him talking about that stuff, and he probably was just sick of playing music.
It could be. I mean, and yeah, at that point too, you've made so much money. Like, yeah, I guess he doesn't have to do Blink 182 anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, but I don't know.
Interesting. We should get him on the show.
I would love to. I would talk to him.
Like, and we should just purely alien talk, like no music at all. Just like,
I love it.
And at the end, just throw one Angels and Airwaves question.
Were you guys actually the greatest band ever? But hold on. So now going back to your top three, and I know you have a younger brother, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I have a younger brother as well. When my, like, you know, the younger brother typically looks up to the older brother, right? And when I found my brother trying to listen to those albums that I listed, I was like, dude, what the hell is wrong? You can't, that's my music. Back off. Did you ever have that attitude? You know what I mean? Like, where these are your bands.
I did. I feel like a dick.
I know. Looking back, I feel like such a jerk now. And it's cool because my little brother has great taste in music, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Probably because I don't want to take credit for it necessarily. But
oh,
like,
you can take credit for it. We all know why.
I'll take some credit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, at the time, I was like, no. You're not listening to AFI. No. You don't know anything about them. That's my band. Back off, dude. I feel like such a jerk for that.
Yeah, I know. Because it's like he was just trying to listen. Right. And then, you know, my brother actually, it was weird because he would listen to the bands that I would listen to, and now we go see shows together all the time, which is great because I love bonding with him.
Me and your brother go to shows all the time. It's great.
Yeah, I was going to talk to you about that. You're guys hanging out a little bit too much lately, but it's true because he started showing me albums like Blink 182, Jimmy Eat World. He bought that album, and I was like, holy smokes! Like their first that Bleed American album, that was a pretty good album.
Yeah.
And
Sugar on the Asphalt and all that?
Yeah.
That's a good song.
Now I can't listen to that shit anymore because it's just like, I'm so sick of hearing those songs.
Yeah.
Like Crimson and Clover.
Oh, yeah, I know that one. Oh, yeah.
Driving me crazy.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
But that's funny that you say that because, I remember the days when my brother would look up to me and be like, what are you listening to? Or like, he'd put on the CDs and stuff.
Yeah, now my brother's like going to Bonnaroo, going to these festivals.
Really?
Like, yeah, he goes to Bonnaroo every year, camps out.
Cool.
And I'm like, you young kids.
You young kids and your music.
I went to the Lollapalooza this year and I was exhausted.
Yeah, you should, everyone listen back to our Lollapalooza albums because Kevin and I, we were there all 4 days. This is the first time they've ever done 4 days.
Yeah, well, just this summer in general. And this is kind of a good segue to what I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
Just kind of our highlights of 2017, mm-hmm. whether it be like the show, the album, our top concerts we went to, things like that. But mm-hmm. yeah, we hit a lot of shows this past summer. Not only that, and I was planning a wedding and, you know, and all that. Like, it was exhausting, man. It's tough.
This must have been like the busiest year of your life, to be
honest.
We're
not kids anymore.
No. My, like, back started hurting after, like, going to all these shows.
You know, you have to have... It's funny. Like, okay, so Lollapalooza, right? You walk around the crowd, and people have... We've talked about it before. People have their festival costume.
Mm-hmm.
Me, it's like, give me some good shoes that have good, like, arch support, mm-hmm. you know? Because you're on your feet all day. It's tiring.
Yeah. All day. Like, even wearing jeans was kind of like, I'm still like, oh, I should just wear, like, sweatpants or something. Like
I know,
that.
And then we're like interviewing these bands, and then we, like, do a photo with them, and I'm like, man, I look like a total scrub. But I don't care.
Yeah, who cares,
you gotta
man.
Go for comfort in these situations. It's hot. There's hundreds of thousands of people, but, you know.
Yeah, that was a pretty fun time. We did I think that successfully we've gone... In 2016, to the most shows probably my entire life.
I think same for me. Well, okay, so... Let's do that right now. What was your... Do you have, like, a favorite concert of 2016 that you attended in your mind? I've got a couple.
Okay, let me think about it. You start us off, and then I'll think about some. Because, like, right off the top of my head, I remember that Growler show was pretty good. That was kind of fun when we all went out to see
them. Yeah,
that
was a blast.
Like,
that was
like a cool band because it was just like we saw them at the Metro. I didn't know who they were.
Right,
like
and
a month before.
That's a shout out to our producer at the time, Sam Shadra, who is no longer with the show, unfortunately. Shout out to Sam.
Miss you, Sam.
Yeah, she kind of turned us onto them in our worlds, and they were a great band.
Very chill band.
Yeah.
Great guys.
Yeah, and the show was excellent. They were awesome.
Well, they had a guy who was their
Johnny Basil.
DJ Johnny Basil.
I'll never
also
forget
shout out
that
to him.
Guy. Yeah, shout out to Johnny Basil.
Man, that was like a year ago.
Yeah.
That was, it feels like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Dang, man. Okay.
Well, for me, a few concert highlights. So seeing Vic Mensa, who I was not, Chicago's own Vic Mensa, who I was not that big, well, I wasn't even really that familiar with him at the time. Seeing him at Lollapalooza, you and I were there together at Lolla, and we started watching Red Hot Chili Peppers a bit, and you said to me, like, hey, you know, let's go. And I had seen Chili Peppers, so I'm okay with that. You wanted to go check out Vic Mensa, and I'm so, so glad we did. I thought that was one of the top performances at Lollapalooza I saw this year. One of my favorite concerts of the year. And he was so, like, kind of emotional, like, it was political at times. He's just a fiery, passionate guy, you know, and it really showed in his show.
It was really cool to see him perform at Lollapalooza, because he was one of the headliners. He played at the end of the night, but it was not that many people who went to go and see it. I mean, of course, it was like probably like 4,000 people, but just the his stage setup, and he had those, what kind of, like, the guards that were, like, surrounding him?
Yeah, the stage presence, or the performance on stage was
like the SWAT team.
Yeah, it was, like, riot gear and all that.
While he was, like, doing his 16 Shots rep, which is about Laquan McDonald.
Yeah.
Holy smokes, man. That was a great show. Good show.
Yeah. I'm so impressed by him. And speaking again to the festivals at Riot Fest that we went to.
Oh, yeah, Riot Fest, man.
So, which was a blast. Every year. That's my favorite festival.
Our second year.
Yep. I saw... Well, I think you were with me, actually. Brand New. We watched them, which I love Brand New. That wasn't the first time seeing them, but it was a better experience for me this time. They sounded great, in my opinion. And then immediately after them, I went one stage over. I think Hugh had gone to see somebody else at this point. But I went one stage over, and it was Death Cab.
Oh, yeah.
And I was so blown away by Death Cab. They sounded so good. And it's like seeing them live, you don't realize like how many songs of theirs that you're like, yeah, I know this one, and it's a really good song. They don't write bad music. They're one of those bands, you know what I mean?
No, who's that lead singer?
Ben Gibbard.
Ben Gibbard.
Yeah.
He had one of the hottest wives of all time.
Who was his wife? How do I know?
Zooey Deschanel.
Man. Zooey Deschanel. I didn't know
that. An indie couple. Like,
I know.
Indie darlings.
It's like the, yeah.
So that's, yeah, they do. They write all good songs. And I used to not like his voice, but then it slowly grew on me. It was like kind of like a Ben Folds, kind of that clean, crisp sound of just the way he sings is just phenomenal.
Absolutely.
That was a great show. And I remember Riot Fest did such a great job with that music. Here's a little nerding out. They actually installed a new amplification system that was used for like the first time at Riot Fest, where they did the...
is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
What do they call it? Like the focused sound on the crowd. So when they had all the stages next to each other, the speakers that they used would just encapsulate just the crowd around them and then stop like a bullet.
How does that happen?
Science, man.
That's amazing.
Science.
Well, that was something I really know. It was actually really interesting with Death Cab, and it had to have been something with like the weather and the crowd and the you know, the waves that were coming out of the speakers, because there were times where you'd be listening to Death Cab and it would sound a little murky, like a little bit of a muddy tone, and then all of a sudden something would clear up and it was like album quality. I swear to God,
isn't that crazy?
Good. Yeah, so good.
I wonder who I saw that I missed Death Cab.
I don't remember. You had gone to see someone. I can't remember. But another highlight for me, just concert-wise, Jim James, singer of My Morning Jacket, he came around not that long ago. I think I want to say it was November or December. No, it was November. He came around to the Vic, I believe.
Yeah.
And his new album came out. Really love his new album. Saw him live. Blown away. So good.
Jim James.
He reminds me of the dude so much from
Big Lebowski.
Big Lebowski. He is a living incarnation of the dude. He had like the sunglasses going on.
I just saw him on James Corden the other night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I was like, who is this guy? He looked so cool.
Yeah, he is. He's super cool.
He's a rock star.
But he's just like, you know, casually waltzing along the stage as his band's doing their thing, and then he'll just pick up a guitar, just start wailing, put it down, continue his thing. He was doing little like index finger to index finger touches to the people in the crowd.
That's cool.
I've never seen that before. It was very like E.T. almost. but yeah, that show was great. And then the one other show that I was blown away by, our pals in Thrice. Came out. What was their latest album? The End
The
is,
Hurricane. I know that.
The Hurricane. The Hurricane was their single.
What a great
To Be
great
Everywhere
experience.
Is To Be Nowhere. Really great album. And we had them in the studio. And they performed, which was a personal Sound Sesh highlight of 2016 for me.
It's great to see like how it's climbed that we had Thrice in studio. You know? What great guys too, and that show was phenomenal. Nice. Did you get to go backstage?
Yeah, we were backstage. We were on the stage as they were performing, and
wow,
that was incredible at the House of Blues. And again, one of those bands too. Again, you don't realize they've been around for a long time, and they've been putting out really good music for a long time. So totally blown away by those guys as well.
Yeah, and I love the fact that, you know, we mentioned this in the interview, but they kind of changed, like, his voice sounds so mature and so... It's perfect.
Yeah,
it's
and you, a perfect voice. It was voice. Funny, and if we'll have to, you know, maybe we can link it or something, but you brought that up to him, and he was like, you're like, what, did you do something differently? And he's like, I don't know, I got older.
I know, because it's like, then they were talking about how young they sounded on their first album, but like, they were just screaming dudes, and now they, I don't know, it's just the progression of these bands are just phenomenal.
Yeah. Did you have any other shows that you can think of?
Well, it was really cool to, oh man, yeah. That Lollapalooza lineup was pretty sweet. I always wanted to see D'Antwoord, and you were there with me.
Yeah, that was pretty wild. That was pretty wild.
That was a really cool show, but you know, I thought it was going to be a little bit different.
Okay.
But yeah, that was a highlight to see them because they're just so huge now.
Yeah, just crazy. They're wild.
They're insane.
Yeah.
Let me think. You know, I went to South by Southwest this past year.
Oh, yeah.
And going to see them, not them, but going to South by Southwest, you get to see just a plethora of artists. And like seeing people like Julian Casablancas from The Strokes, Albert Hammond Jr. from The Strokes was pretty phenomenal.
Sure.
Getting to, you know, just be in that atmosphere of music. Like, honestly, every show I went to there was great. And that's not a really good answer, but
no, that
it's
is
true.
A good answer. That is.
And
absolutely.
Then going to... Governor's Ball in New York.
Super cool.
That was another cool thing that I got to do. And there I got to see The Killers, which I've never seen before.
Great band.
A phenomenal
great
show.
Band.
Like it was kind of a year of just seeing bands that I've always wanted to see, but you know, I never really wanted to go out of my way to see. So
yeah.
Like it was a lot of festivals this year.
Yes.
We probably went to like 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, throughout the summer and all that, yeah.
And that was really cool. I just had one on the tip of my tongue. I can't remember who it was.
While you think, I have another highlight for Sound Sessions.
Yeah.
I think this was 2017, having Victor Wooten in the studio.
Oh my gosh!
Being a bass player myself and watching this guy just casually like lay down ridiculous bass solos. While
Grammy Award winning.
Yeah, 5-time.
Oh.
And he's just casually like, he's like warming up and he's doing things that I couldn't even like wrap my brain around.
And just seeing him perform and just like the way he was tuning his guitar and like and working with the screws, he knows that instrument like the back of his hand.
Yeah. And you know, talking to him too, super positive, very humble guy, really like down to earth,
soft spoken,
and like really like inspirational.
You know?
Like talking to him just got me motivated for I didn't even know what, but I like left the studio feeling like, yeah, I don't know what I'm gonna do, but I'm gonna do something. Like, yeah, Victor.
How awesome is it that he, you know, he got to the point where he is just by playing an instrument. I mean, just by being the best at what he does.
I know. Yeah,
wow. Yeah, that was a great, great highlight. Fantastic highlight, man. And even like getting to connect with bands like Dreamers, which is an up and coming band.
Those guys are great.
Those guys.
Super cool, down to earth guys.
Getting to talk to Third Eye Blind.
Was
pretty sweet.
Chris Reed, that guy, he was a little wild. But
Chris Reed, we got to meet the lead singer as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was awesome. I saw Third Eye Blind twice in the past year. I've never seen them before, and it was actually pretty cool.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
Come on.
They grew on me. They grew on me. As regular Sound Sessions listeners know, that's one of Kevin's favorite bands.
Oh, yeah. Great band.
And getting to just talk to them, it was phenomenal. It's really hard to say what my favorite part of 2016 was because we did so much. Like I look back on those Facebook memories that come up every once in a while, which is like the creepy and awesome at the same time, because some days you're just like, oh shit, I can't believe I said that. But then other days, like the other day, we had that picture of Victor Wooten that came up, and I was like, damn, that was last year.
Right.
I felt like I was 14 years old when we did that interview. It was awesome to just have him in studio.
Yeah, really, really cool. Yeah, that was a treat.
Yeah. 2016 was just a fantastic year, man.
Speaking about years,
mm-hmm.
Do you know what album is 20 years old? You want to feel old for a second?
I'd love to.
January 20th, 1997.
Mm-hmm.
Homework. Does that mean anything to you? The album Homework?
Homework.
Or how about Around the World? Around the world, around the world.
Wow.
Daft Punk's Homework is 20 years old.
That album was called Homework?
Homework. It was like their breakout. That's what it had. Let's see. It had just the big names on it. Where did it go? Around the World, obviously. I think that was like the biggest name on it. Mm-hmm. High Fidelity, Rock and Roll, and so on, Alive. Yeah, man, 1997.
97?
97. That's 20 years old.
That's insane because I remember, you know,
growing up in and living here in the suburbs of Chicago, Q101 was at its peak in like the end of the 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
And they play that song every single freaking hour.
Still a jam.
It's still a jam, man. It was like that, Nine Inch Nails, and Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, God. And those bands, too, still doing the thing and still...
Yeah. It's crazy to see, you know, just having a career in music is just a beautiful, phenomenal, crazy, crazy thing. That's 20 years old.
Yeah,
damn.
And another blast from the past, Jamiroquai is having a comeback.
Why?
What do you mean why?
Why
He's
is
great.
He having a comeback?
He's great.
Is he going to be like stepping backwards on a treadmill again? That's the only reason I would want to see him.
Dude, he's so good. British funkster, Jamiroquai, unleashed piles of his hits in the 90s and the 2000s and won a Grammy.
Hits? Oh. What other song
can
did he
heat.
Have?
This? Can't Heat in My Ear Tonight, Babe. I sing
yeah,
on
that was the only
okay,
one.
I sing on this podcast and radio show way too often because I'm not good at it. Just stop me before I start. But yeah, he like,
I enjoy it.
He really, well, I'm sure you do. He released a 22-second teaser under the banner Automation Transmission 001. They have a anticipated 8th album, Automation, coming out. I'm excited. Apparently you aren't.
Can't wait to not buy that album.
I wonder if he's going
to
come out with the Kangol hat still. Remember that was like his gimmick?
It was like, it was the Slash hat, but just made of fur. It was
and you have it like down over his eyes, yeah. I guess, yeah, that's kind of what Slash does. But
and like the huge, like, oh man, yeah. The huge shirt that he would wear over his like sleeves and stuff. Oh, come on. Around the world, I was 20 years old.
I really think like what Justin Timberlake was trying to do is what Jamiroquai was doing.
Like so singing that falsetto kind of funky beat.
Falsetto, funk, yeah. Like when he came out with, what was the album? Was it Lovestone? Was that the album title? I can't even remember. Justified?
Oh, Justin Timberlake's album?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I don't remember. Anyway, well, I loved that album.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think that's
Justified.
Kind of Justified,
bringing
yeah.
Bringing sexy back.
Yeah, it's so good. But yeah, so he's coming out with more music.
Cool.
Yeah. I also have some.
Good for him. You know, go at it, Jamiroquai. Where the hell have you been for the last 20 years?
I will gobble that up. I cannot wait. We should talk to him.
Yeah, let's talk to him.
And then I got a couple other things here. I know you've got some things that you brought to the plate, but couple more things here. We were talking about streaming a little bit earlier. Tidal, I didn't even know it's still around, which is Jay-Z's baby, if I'm not mistaken.
Tidal. Yeah. It's Blue Ivy and Tidal. It's just his two babies.
Oh, yeah. I was like, huh? Now I got you.
Womp womp.
How do you feel about... Tell me how you feel about this.
Okay.
They're introducing a new feature called Track Edit, which allows users to adjust the length and speed of selected tracks before saving those edited versions to a playlist. So you can...
Length and speed.
You can edit the length and tempo of a song on Tidal.
Is this like for DJs that like...
I was wondering about that. I don't know. I mean...
What's the benefit of hearing your song sped up?
I guess if like you really love a song that's like slow, you can speed it up and put it in like a workout mix or something. I don't really understand.
Okay.
I don't understand.
Yeah, I could see that.
I don't know that I like this.
Huh.
Editing the song length.
Why would they? Man, they're running out of ideas.
That's,
is what I think
right?
they're doing.
That's exactly what
anything
it is.
To get like people back on board. But who would want this?
And then this is kind of cool. Earlier this month, it was revealed that the streaming company would begin offering master quality audio streaming, which is kind of in the vein of what Neil Young was doing with Pono. But that never took off because there's not as much of a market for it. Cool concept, but not enough people care that much, I think.
Yeah, because
unfortunately.
That's an interesting point because it's like, who are you marketing that to? You're marketing it to the older crowd who wants to listen to great music and has the time and money to put into it, but they are not the ones who are going to be buying that. They have the albums. They know what they like. It's the kids who are going to want to be able to eat the stuff up.
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, I think it's just another grasp at straws here. They're trying to have some sort of appeal because it's obvious that Apple Music and Spotify seem to be the two main sources for streaming music.
Yeah, you know, the only reason I wanted to get Tidal at one point in my life was because they had just the exclusive rights to that Kanye West album, and so everyone jumped on it for like a week and then jumped right back off of it.
Well, there's been that was on Tidal
because
I know a couple like I think Chance the Rapper did that with Apple Music.
Okay,
where he released his latest and that Radiohead did that too. They released Moonshaped Pool only on Apple Music. And that was so frustrating for me because I love Radiohead and I wanted that album and I didn't want. On Apple Music.
You don't have Apple Music?
I don't.
You gotta jump on board, man.
So you have Spotify and Apple Music?
I have unpaid Spotify, the free,
and then
paid Apple Music. Because I can't take commercials on...
Something needs to give. This is, like, there's a problem in the music industry right now, and something needs to give where they figure out what the hell they're doing, like how the hell they're monetizing music right now, because I know Spotify is ripping off artists and yada yada, but I don't know. Something's got to give here. I don't like having the two that are competing, and then we're, as a consumer of music, we're kind of losing out in that regard.
You know what? I think that we're actually winning in that regard, to be honest. Like, I think that the fact that they're competing against each other, it's kind of like the Lyft and Uber. It's like,
okay,
it's like if you can't get the Uber, you'll get the Lyft because it's a little tiny bit cheaper. And they'll keep lowering their prices until, like, you know, it turns into...
But then when you have the battles of, like, one's going to have this album, but the other one's going to have this album, and I want both albums, like, what the hell?
That's where illegal downloading comes into play.
Yeah, Kevin. I'm past that. Because my computer...
That's where Pono comes into play, then. Go to Pono!
No, that's where, yeah, like you said, illegal downloading. Well, you know, I mentioned that, what is it? Homework is 20 years old. My computer is about 10 years old. So that's the issue here.
You got to upgrade that.
I really do.
You know what? To be honest, like, now that I mentioned that, I can't remember the last time I illegally downloaded a song. I don't think it's probably been like 5-10 years.
It's been a while. Like, probably since
LimeWire.
A little after college.
Yeah.
I was on the BitTorrent.
You BitTorrent?
I was, yeah. Not doing that so much anymore.
I can't, I was never able to trust that because it was like a little bit, it was like using Reddit. I'm still like getting used to like the wonky nature of Reddit.
Sure, I get that.
So LimeWire was so easy that I'd just be like, you know, type it in.
Yeah, but like the streaming services have kind of killed the need for that.
Exactly.
You know?
What would even be the next step? Like, where could they even take music?
As far as like monetizing it?
Yeah, I think, you know, Chance the Rapper, he does a really cool thing that he's staying independent right now because obviously the record labels are just there to kind of screw you nowadays.
Well, I'm learning that, like, exactly. That's the record label is trying their damnedest to stay relevant, and they're instead of like you know, well, before the record label was getting a large portion of the album sales, and now that the album sales aren't really a thing as much, they're doing things like getting a portion of the tour or merch, which is totally ridiculous. Like,
yeah.
That's what the band's doing that work, and you're not really help. Like, if the record label's not helping fund your albums or your tour and yada yada, like, then what are they doing? They're just leeching.
It's too bad that the record industry ate itself. Like, they screwed themselves out of business by screwing these artists. If they would have just been cool from the start and just paid the artists what they wanted to do, there would be no illegal downloading of music. There'd be no, I mean, who knows where it would have gone.
Yeah, it's an interesting time with the band, like you said, Chance the Rapper or Radiohead, or I think Metallica's doing it now too, putting out their own vinyl and recording themselves, and you know, it's all money in their pocket. And I support that. That's great.
You know, it's cool because it's like you want to be on Apple Music and you want to be on Spotify, but at the same time, I think it's really cool when you go to a show and you're just buying a CD, or you like go to their website and you just, you know, you put down $5 and you can just digitally download it like right there, and then it goes straight to the artist.
Yeah. Well, and that, like, I think Radiohead kind of set the precedent there when they put out In Rainbows. It was pay what you want.
Oh, that's right.
And it like shook the music industry. What?
Yeah.
You can do that?
Forgot about that. That was a good idea.
Yeah. Or like, you know, going back to vinyl. Now when people put out vinyl, with that you get like usually a little voucher for a digital download.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of get, you can have your cake and eat it too.
Dang.
As they say.
Man.
So. Music. But yeah, it's a funny time for the music industry and how we take it all in.
Mm-hmm.
Streaming is kind of really throwing a loop into... or throwing a curveball into the industry. So
yeah.
I think it's a funny time. It's still being figured out. You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that's true. I'm still sticking with my Apple Music, though.
That's fine.
I enjoy it.
That's great.
Enjoy it.
I might have to leech off of you when the next time Chance the Rapper puts out an album or something.
He's been doing some really cool stuff. Donald Glover's been doing some really great stuff, too.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited for that. 2017 is going to be a good year.
Mm-hmm.
I think things are going to continue to play out well and interestingly. I'm psyched.
All right, Kevin, so, you know, I don't know if you saw this, but we have a new president right now.
Yeah, that happened. Yep, Donald Trump.
DT.
President Trump.
Trump Nation. Jeez. And, you know, the people who are most afraid of this, I feel like, is the musicians in America today. Because when you're a musician, you don't really have the type of health care insurance that you want because you're kind of working for yourself.
Right. That's something we've asked bands about before, too, and it's an interesting thing. Like, you have to pay for your own. You have to go through the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, it's a very real thing. I mean, and so there's all this talk about repealing the Affordable Care Act, or otherwise known colloquialism, is Obamacare.
Obamacare.
And... a lot of musicians are scared. There was this great article by Stephen Knopner, you know, who mentioned the fact that
these musicians are kind of getting a little bit of an uproar about how afraid they are. Just imagine being an artist. You're putting your blood, sweat, and tear. You're on the road with your own van.
Yeah.
The van's breaking down. You're with your buddies. And nobody's eaten in weeks. And now you've got your healthcare taken away.
Well, think about this too. Like, you're doing a lot to your body. When, like, these guys are thrashing about on stage. And I mean, like, or think about you know, pyrotechnics and mm-hmm. whatever else, and diving off the stage and this.
Yeah,
and that,
like, your hair goes on fire. And yeah, the music. What do you
these
do?
Guys do get hurt. Like, you get
a firecracker to the face. You need an ER.
You need some sort of coverage. So this, I mean, I know. This feels weird saying, but President Trump has made comments. About how he wants to have universal health care. He hasn't really talked about how or why or anything like that, but
or when
or exactly. So, I mean, it's an interesting thought. And if I'm a musician and that's my main source of income, yeah, I'm concerned. I don't know what's going to happen with that. It's, again, going back to like the streaming and all that, it's just an interesting time.
Yeah,
for a lot of changes will be coming.
Yes, you know, it's. Oh man, it felt, you know, because the Affordable Care Act was such a good thing. Like, I don't really see any problems with it. I knew that it wasn't perfect.
Well,
but
you know,
not many things in life are. And
of course, there's taxes that people. I mean, I don't like to get political. Of course, you know, we're as a community, as a nation, paying into this thing, and you know, not all of us are getting to benefit because not all of us need
it,
right? But mm-hmm. you know, it's. Your favorite band, I don't care where you're at, whether it's a country band or a rapper or mm-hmm. a metal band, if they're on the tour and they don't have a career that's giving them, you know, health insurance, news for you, they're probably on the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, yeah.
So you might not want to pull that out from under them, or maybe you won't be seeing them as much.
Exactly. Or yeah, because if you're on tour and these struggling teenagers or these young guys who are in bands and stuff, and you get... Man, you get like, you need to go to the hospital or the ER, you're screwed, man. Like, and that's why it's interesting, because you mentioned the fact that everyone's paying into the costs and everything like that. But it's also, you get, if you are without health insurance, and I was for a time, so
yeah,
I can.
Yeah, same.
And so I can, you know, we both can just know what it feels like
it's
to
scary.
Be scared. You're like walking on eggshells all the time.
Yeah, well, not only that, like things can happen outside of your power, you know, or like you need a root canal all of a sudden,
yeah.
or, you know.
Oh, my gosh. I remember having, like, the worst toothache for, like, a year, and I didn't do shit about it.
It's the worst. I know. It's the worst.
I just kept brushing my teeth.
And you hope for the best.
Yeah.
But you're scared. I don't want to go to the doctor. Man, I remember there was a time when I didn't have the insurance, and I had a cold,
mm-hmm.
and I felt terrible, and I thought it might be more than a cold.
Mm-hmm.
And I paid $100 to get checked out just for the doctor to tell me, yep, you have a cold.
Oh, that bastard. That happens all the time. Like, okay, so I don't know if you remember this, but there was a while back I was really sick. I was coughing nonstop a few months ago, and I don't know what the hell was wrong with me. Then one night my lips started swelling up. Like,
oh my God.
And I was like,
something with the glands or something?
It was probably something with the glands. I mean, who knows what the glands are happening these days. And I thought it was food poisoning.
Yeah.
And then my mom was like, you need to go to the hospital. And then I called the doctor. And I just got on healthcare insurance, so I called the doctor, and I'm like, hey, you know, my lips are swelling up, and I'm coughing nonstop, and they're like, you can't make an appointment. You need to go to the emergency room
now. Oh, my God.
And I'm like, shit, I'm dying.
But they figured it out, and you're here today. And
yeah, I mean, well, here's I get to the hospital. I'm in the emergency room. I'm sitting there waiting 3 hours.
Ugh.
For a freaking doctor. And I'm like kind of excited to use my health insurance because I want to see how much it's going to save me.
Right.
And they bill you in the beginning, by the way.
Oh, do they?
So I had an IV, and they bill you, they bring you to the room while you're waiting, ask you for your credit card. $500.
Ouch.
To go to the emergency room.
Ouch.
I was like, I was literally thinking, like, with my lips swollen, with my glands blowing up and like coughing nonstop, I was like, I should just go home.
Pull it out. You're like, no, I'll pull out the IV. You know what? I'm cool. I'm cool with swollen lips. Doesn't matter. I'll live with it.
It was crazy to see that it was like 500. How can they live with themselves? $500 and like, That was with healthcare insurance.
Yeah.
The fact that these musicians and stuff are might need to just risk like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you think
it's
about
insane.
What they would be paying. It's
like I think it's $2,000 to go to an emergency room. Anyway, so I go to the emergency room, $500. I'm like, oh, this guy better jack me up with pills. I better get like an IV. He better give me a massage and some tea.
I know, right?
Like maybe a trip, like just like a free trip for some reason. I don't know. He just sends me to Hawaii.
You got a new car.
They like instead of like the curtain that they open where they just show you the IV, it's just like a brand new car. Yeah, just like, here you go, and door number one. But no, he comes into the room and goes, and he like looks at me, feels my like my glands, and I'm laying there, and he goes, huh, yeah, you got a sore throat. It's been going around. Have you tried tea?
That's it?
He said, have you tried tea?
Oh, my God.
Tea and honey was what he told me to do. And then he gave me some kind of pill, which ended up being Advil. I was like, what the hell, man? I wanted to just, I was so pissed.
That's
I was
hilarious.
So pissed off. So it's very important to, yeah. you know, to
well, point
take
being,
care of yourself.
Point being.
I mean, if we go to all the shows we went to this past year, my back is going to be killing again.
No kidding. Point being, these poor bands definitely need some healthcare. So
yeah.
This is a little bit scary, and I'm hoping things pan out quickly for them. I don't think they're going to pull the plug on it completely, Obamacare.
Yeah, same here. We'll hope for the best.
Yeah.
It you know, yeah, we should talk to another some artists about that and like see what they have to say about that. But we might scare them, so maybe we shouldn't. I don't know. But this was great, man. It was great like catching up with you again.
So if you've made it this far into the podcast, this is something that we're going to try to do, I think, once a month or so. Just something, not so much talking to bands, but talking amongst ourselves about music-based topics and just things that are trending and whatever the hell else we want to talk about, like Michael's swollen lips.
I'm gonna edit all that out.
But I think this is a lot of fun, Michael. I'm glad we did this.
I agree. This was a blast. It was good to get the catch up and just see what's going on in the world of music.
Absolutely.
And to, you know, take a little a refresher, like a cleanser, like
right.
a headspace movement out of the normal interview process.
And I'm glad I got to see that facial friend of yours. Your beard is raging. I love it. Keep it going.
But facial friend.
like I mentioned in the beginning, if you do want to find us, we're on WGNplus.com, WGNradio.com, iTunes. Mm-hmm. If you just go to iTunes.com/soundsessions.
That's right.
Am I doing this right? Okay.
And don't forget, if you email us, we will be sure to send you out some cool swag from
soundsessionspod@gmail.com. soundsessionspod@gmail.com. Facebook, Sound Sessions. Instagram, Sound Sessions WGN. We're always posting stuff on there. Twitter, Sound Sesh Pod.
Oh, I love our Instagram page. Make sure you follow that. That's
fun. I know.
Because there's always something like cool to post, and it's always cool to see like who's commenting and everything like that.
And I mean, you'll find us. Just Google Sound Sessions, see what comes up, and then email us about it, because I have never done that, actually. So.
Yeah, me either. But we get a lot of coupons on our email.
But with that said, you've been listening to Sound Sessions. Signing off, I'm Kevin.
And this is Michael. We are the voice of Chicago music. Sound Sessions. Bye.
Can't get enough of Sound Sessions? Like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter @SoundSeshPod, and check us out on Instagram @SoundSessionsWGN.